in one accord. Yes, sometimes it's hallelujah. Sometimes it's praise the Lord.
Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Why don't you turn around and greet somebody in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Saturday night. What a privilege it is to be in the house of God. Once again, play some more of that second verse.
Our hearts in one.
Lord. Oh, sometimes it's just a hallelujah. Sometimes it's praise our Lord. Sometimes gently singing, our hearts in one accord.
Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's give him one more big hand clap of praise tonight. You love him with all your heart. Amen. What a privilege it is to worship our God and to be able to assemble ourselves together in a place that we can worship the Lord. It's a privilege to worship. We don't want to lose our worship around here. We're not going to lose our worship around here. We're going to praise the Lord. You think you're just going to come in here and freeload? You're wrong. You're going to praise the Lord. That's why we're here, to create a real sweet atmosphere that the Holy Ghost will be pleased with. When the speaker comes out, it'll just be slobbering everywhere, just so rich in honey. That's what we want, isn't it? The presence of the Lord is what we want. Amen. Amen. I'm going to just let you stand because we've got just a very few prayer requests tonight. This is from a mother and father. Remember a young man who is facing the trial of his life. God knows all about the need. We're just committed to the Lord. Brother Cutts says to please remember two fatherless families whose moms must guide their children and make decisions about their well-being. So we certainly want to pray for that need tonight. We want to pray for Agnes or Angie Brown's father, Fred Ogles, having problems with his pancreas. Certainly want to remember that tonight. Please pray for a 29-year-old police officer from Kingsport, Tennessee, named Jamel Phelps. He has bleeding on the brain, is in the medically induced coma at UT Medical Center. We'll just commit that need unto the Lord. Remember that young man. Please pray for Mary Williams and her family from Texas, having a lot of problems. Let's remember that need tonight. Well, the whole world's in trouble. We got our problems. But aren't you glad we've got somebody we can take them to? Are you glad about that tonight? Amen. What a privilege we have to take our needs to the Lord tonight. Just a glorious, glorious time to be in the house of God. You have an unspoken prayer request you'd like for this group to pray about tonight? You believe we're serving a God that can answer your prayers? Do you believe that with all your heart? Somebody say, I believe it with all of my heart. Praise the Lord. Brother West, come tonight. Take us to the Lord in prayer. And let me correct something I said here over there, or maybe it was Wednesday night, Brother Ron Peterson's assembly. Somebody had said maybe they thought 87 people had been baptized last Sunday, but actually the count was 74, 33 at youth camp, 6 in Africa. Going to bury one here tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's good, isn't it, Brother West?
Yes, sir.
We appreciate this guy right here, don't we? God bless you, guys.
Before I go in prayer, I'd like to extend the greetings of Brother Abe and Sister Helen that I met at camp. They consider themselves to be a part of our congregation here and under Brother Donnie's ministry, but they live way off in Canada, and they know all of us, but you all didn't know them, so I just wanted to say, extend their greetings. They were just lovely people, lovely saints of God, and one day we're going to all get together in the same place. And so let's bow our heads. Father, the more you reveal yourself to us, the more lovely and wonderful you become, the more we trust you, the more we understand that we're soon to leave this place. Lord, we know that you keep every single promise that you've made us. We know, Lord, that we can take the little faith that you've given us, each as individuals, and we can place it on your word, and nothing can stop it. There's no power in hell that can stand against it, Lord. As the prophet told us, Lord, the weakest Christian on their knees is like an atomic bomb going off in Satan's Eden. Lord, there's nothing that can stop our prayer request tonight. There's troubles in some families. There's sickness. There's things that we're facing. I want to praise you, though, Lord, for there's so few prayer requests, Lord. There's so many people that are here tonight that have been sick, and now they've got their health back because of prayer, because of your healing power, Lord. They're here tonight, and I want to praise you for that. And Lord, I just, you know, these prayer requests, as we lay them down, Lord, I don't want to take them for granted, but really, when I see your power manifested, and I see your truth manifested, and I see your word coming and your revelation coming, I know that these prayer requests are literally nothing in your eyes. That they are as good as taken care of as soon as we believe, Lord. We just ask you to give the people who put the prayer requests in the faith to believe too, and we'll just agree together in your name, Lord, and watch what you do and have testimonies to follow. Lord, it's so amazing to me how beautiful and how wonderful it is to see your truth marching through such a dark age. To see you on display through the eye. I look into the eyes of a believer and I see you looking back at me, Lord. It's such an amazing time. Help us, Lord, to realize it. Help us, Lord, to embrace your love and just carry on day by day, Lord, until we see you appear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you'd like to come at this time, receive the evening offering. If you're a visitor here tonight, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you. The LaFontaine grandchildren are here. Brother Wade and all those folks are here. He called just a little while ago and said that they were here and they're going to be singing for us. So we've just got a lot to go through here tonight, but we're going to have church.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let me make this one announcement. This is the last weekend to sign up for the youth banquet. Please take the forms home, fill them out, and bring them back in the morning. Tomorrow is the last day to sign up. So remember that. Go to the library tonight, get your form, fill it out, and bring it back in the morning. Well, you know what? We're going to be caught up in the clouds. And there we're going to meet the Lord in the air. And forever we're going to be with the Lord. Is that your desire tonight? Are you glad about it? Somebody say hallelujah. Give me one more hand clap of praise.
See those clouds, they're the ones he's coming back in. From the east, when Christ returns to earth again. The saints in on that morning when our body change began. Oh, let's sing it now. See those clouds, they're the ones he's coming back in. From the salvation and keep your eyes upon the eastern sky. Oh, see those clouds, they're the ones he's coming back in. From the east, when Christ returns to earth again.
twinkling of an eye, it will all be over.
Oh, yes, it will.
And my friend, in the twinkling of an eye, it will all be over.
Oh, yes, it will.
Oh, my friend, it will be too late to pray. Be sure the time is near me. It's the hour of His appearing. Catch His bride away.
Oh, let's sing it out, church. Oh, see those clouds. They're the ones He's coming back in. From the east, when Christ returns to earth again. See those clouds. They're the ones we'll join the saints.
Saints
in.
Oh, on that glorious morning when our body change begins,
see those clouds. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He's coming back. We're going to go meet Him. It's going to be a great time to meet eternity, isn't it? Somebody say praise the Lord. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated tonight. We've just got a lot of songs tonight. Just saw another singer and his wife come in. You going to be here in the morning? Great. You sing in the morning. Is that all right? Praise Brother Ben and his wife. God bless you. Let's have Brother Harry. How y'all got that worked out tonight? You and Sister Cindy and Brother Justin? Y'all will come on, be getting ready. The LaFontaine kids, children, young people, whoever who it is. If y'all want to come on to the platform, be getting ready to sing for us tonight. Let's give our singers a nice hand tonight as they come to sing. Praise the Lord.
they wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, His blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon Him. Son of God was laid in darkness. A battle in the grave. The war on death was waged. The power of hell forever.
be in the presence of Jehovah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
In and out of situations, the tug of war had me.
Oh yes, Lord Jesus.
And all day long I struggle for these answers that I need. Oh, but when I come into His presence, all my questions, they become clear. Oh yes, Lord. And for this sacred moment, no doubt can interfere. Place for us to rest. Oh, a place to find my answers in the hour of distress. Now there's never any reason to give up in despair. Just slip away and praise His name, for He will surely meet you there in the
praise His name.
The Lord. What a wonderful thing the presence of God can do.
Amen.
To a heart that is recipient, a real recipient to the presence of God. Let's turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and let's read a little bit about what the presence of God wants to do in our lives. I not only want to sense it, to feel it, I want it to change me. Those of you a couple of weeks ago, well, I guess actually it was last Saturday, if you saw the pictures of the eclipse of the moon and the blood moon and all that, if you looked at it Saturday night, which I saw as it was coming in across the mountain over here, the blood moon was gone, the eclipse was gone, and the moon was back to her normal self. So all the people that was looking and looking and looking to see what would happen by Saturday morning, a little bit after six, she was back to herself again. Following signs is all right, but really, well, the greatest sign that I want is to see me changed. I don't want to be like the moon, that I'm a blood moon on Saturday night and then I'm regular moon on Monday. I want to be a changed person, don't you? I believe in signs and wonders, but I'm afraid many times folks get so caught up in that. You know why? It's easier to look at that than it is to look at yourself. And point, if you're not growing, if you're not doing what you need to do, it's easier to look over there and point to this and point to that. Might ought to go to pointing this way. Say, Lord, work on this moon right here. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. Now listen how important this is. Love is ridiculed, made fun of, laughed at. A lot of preachers in the Message laugh about preachers that preach about love and all that sort of thing. But you just listen to what the Bible says and listen how important this is. And keep in your mind what Paul is speaking about is not this Laodicean version of love. Where you can, you know, everybody's going to heaven anyway. Well, no, they're not. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains. Now, not molehills. Mountains. And have not charity. I'm a great Pentecostal. And I could have a great telecast. Yeah, you could out yonder. But not in the Bible. Even in the Message you could, as far as with some folks. But not according to the Bible identification of a Christian. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned. Wow, what a sacrifice. But many of the Indian wives who followed their king emperor husbands, when he died and was cremated, many of them would climb right up on the funeral pyre and be cremated right with him alive. They didn't have eternal life. I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Oh my. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, we have just sung about being in your presence. We know that when you were here, many people came into your presence according to what they thought you were, is what they received while in your presence. If they believed you were the resurrection, they received their dead raised back to life. If they believed that you were the Savior, they received pardon of their sins. If they believed you could open blinded eyes, they received their sight. If they believed you were a devil and an imposter, they received condemnation. If they believed that you were Beelzebub, they received nothing. And we know it's the same today. According to how people think you are, people look at you as being a savior, then you will save them. But that's as far as you will ever move in their life. But we look at you as a husband. And if you're a husband, you got to have a wife. So we're not just looking at you as a savior. We're looking at you as our bridegroom. So may we, as we sit at the table tonight, as it were, in our perfume, the banqueting table and your banner is spread over us. May it be the banner of love. Heavenly Father, may our frankincense and our myrrh, our aromatic spices, may it come from the very deepest recesses of our soul tonight. May the north wind arise and may it blow into the presence of the King, fruit of a changed life. Grant it, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
You may be seated. Let's read also Song of Solomon chapter 4 verse 16. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, or retire thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Now listen to this from the adoption. Thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
It'll take perfect love to put you in that place. Now he's talking about going beyond the curtain of time when he saw those saints of God. Now listen what it's going to take to put you and I there. It'll take perfect love to put you in that place, for that's all there was there. There was no preaching there. There was no altar calls. There was no deacons meetings, trustee meetings, no conventions, no conferences, no Bible studies, no counseling. Perfect love. What are they doing in the sixth dimension? Praying? They don't pray there. Making altar calls? They don't have altar calls. They're hearing preachers? They don't preach there. But what are they in? Perfect love. Now remember, when these things which are temporary cease to exist, perfect love never stops. Now, myself, Brother Ben, these other brothers here that are called of God to preach, we will always have that representation in the presence of God for what we did on the earth, which is remarkable to me, that a man may preach 40, 50 years, whatever it is, and through eternity, he will still be identified as a leader for something he done for 40 years of time. But yet, I'll never preach another sermon there. But yet you and I will never pray for another sick person. All the things that we do in time, we will never do again, but perfect love will exist through eternity. Hate had a day it started, it'll have a day it dies. Sickness had a day it started, it'll have a day it dies. Torment, all these other things that had a beginning will have an end. But there is no end to perfect love because it is the image of God. Hallelujah. It'll take perfect love to put you in that place, for that's all the walls are there. No matter how many religious demonstrations, how many good deeds, listen to this now, that you have done or whatever you've done, that won't count nothing on that day. It'll take perfect love. So whatever you do, oh my, you lay aside everything else until you're just so filled with the love of God till you can love those who hate you. And Happy Valley Church said, now you might count that trivial if you want to. You may not count it important, but I'll stand here open tonight and let anybody send me a quote where Brother Branham says, thus saith the Lord, it'll take deep this and it'll take this and that and the other to get there. You won't find him. No, sir. But he does say this. Why? He'd been there. So I'm going to take the word for one who'd been there and come back instead of taking a lot of theologians' word for it. Well, I think we can do this. I'm not interested in what folks think. I want something I can put my feet on and say, this is God's way. Don't you? My soul is at stake for that. I don't want to play. I want to know for sure where I'm going and how I can get there. Now, I want you to notice that the attributes that Paul is describing in charity. Now, keep in your mind tonight as we look at this, that we're not talking about the ooey-gooey Laodicean verse of everybody loving everybody. And you can do whatever you want to do and go to heaven. That's not what they're even talking about at all. That is not charity. Oh, no. What's this in verse 5? Now, he says that charities, he continues to describe by verbs instead of adjectives what charity does. It does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh. Uh-oh. Now, from this point on, it'll probably get quieter, and we all might need to say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Now, what's a person, a man, woman, boy, girl, preacher, whatever it is, living under the influence of this power of God? This is what charity does. And then Paul describes what charity does not do. Now, remember, we're talking about perfect love. Now, self-love, each of us has an element of self-love. Self-love helps us whenever we're all down and weary. Now, what self-love does for us is what charity will do for our brothers and sisters. You see, whenever we have self-love, and then we mess up and make a mistake, or say we say something to somebody that we shouldn't say, or we get our temper kind of riled up. What self-love does is justify to ourselves why we did that. Well, I'm under such stress, and I'm going through so much stuff. And after all, if people only understood. Now, you see what that is? That is self-love that is trying to console you. Charity is not just for you. Charity is for the way you treat your brothers and sisters and other people. Now, self-love will... you made a mistake. Well, if you only knew what I'm going through, if you only understood what I'm going through, you know why I made the mistake and why I got under such pressure. Now, that's not charity in your life doing that. That is self-love. But if you've got real charity, then if a brother or sister did the same thing or worse to you, charity in your heart will make the same excuse for them that self-love makes for you. Now, self-love won't make excuses for our brothers and sisters because they hurt our feelings. My husband done me wrong, or my wife, or my kid, or so-and-so. Don't they know I've done this and I've... That's self-love talking. Preach, Brother Donnie. Now watch, it does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. Charity thinketh no evil. Can you imagine this? That charity itself does not have the ability to think evil. Wow. I need more. As self-love will make us think evil of those who cause us trouble or who dislike us. Now you might as well say amen, because we all struggle whenever folks come against us. We all love our friends, people who give us accolades of praise and brag on us. And oh my, there's something about our flesh, we just love that. But there's also something about our flesh that don't like people that don't like us. That's self-love. Now, the Greek word that Paul used here for this, whenever the word thinketh, now it seems strange to us in the English language, but it's actually the word that is used for impute. Charity does not impute evil. Now listen, charity does not impute evil. Oh my. It means it does not reckon or charge evil to another individual. Now, even when things are proven, charity still struggles in accepting things against our brothers and sisters that are absolutely proven to be so. But flesh don't struggle. Flesh actually enjoys it whenever we hear this about this person or that person, especially if they don't like us. Now, if it's our brother, our sister, our friend, our pal, well, that's a total different thing now. But if it's somebody that's caused us problems and we think they're getting what they deserved. They didn't clap their hands real loud when I sang, and they didn't do this, and they didn't. God's judging them. Oh, my. Hallelujah. Charity does not have the ability to originate an evil design or impute wrong or evil to an individual. Now friends, those of you who get on Facebook and all the others who do and want to spread garbage and trash and all this, that, and the other, just remember you're not following the Holy Ghost. Those who are looking for faults so they can plaster it on their website and all this, that, and other, the prophet of God, they are not led of the Holy Ghost. They're inspired of hell. If they truly had the Holy Ghost and were led by the Holy Ghost, they would know that's not the attributes of the Spirit of God. To merely surmise or accept rumor or to hope, it's totally impossible for charity to do such a thing. So then you answer me the question, when we do that, what are we following? Did you hear brother so-and-so? Oh no, don't, oh no, really? Oh my goodness, and you can't wait till you pull, get on your phone after church and text. Oh, I heard the latest tonight. Did you hear? Just remember, you're not led of the Holy Ghost. According to your Bible, you're not even to accept, not even to accept an accusation against a preacher without two or three witnesses, and the prophet of God said they have to swear that they even saw this instance happen. And we want to blow our chest out and talk about thunders and seals and signs and wonders and... Charity does not have the ability. Now think of this. It's not even designed to accept gossip. Amen. Charity just can't do it. Yes, sir. Amen. Rumors? No way. To accept surmise, I think I saw him. I believe a man or woman under the influence of charity won't pay a bit more attention to that than the man in the man. Now a person living by self-love will, but not a person living under charity. Charity cannot accept a report without fact-based evidence. And even when it's proven, charity still don't want to accept it.
Brother Donnie, do you honestly think there's going to be people live this?
I know they are. I'm looking at some of them just as sure as the world. Oh, I don't expect everybody. Just ain't for everybody. No way. I'm just speaking to the sweetheart of God. That's right. When forced to believe evil of another. Now watch this. It will not impute it. It will not accept it. It accepts the facts with great reluctance. It just don't want to believe that about its brother or its sister. And it takes no pleasure in repeating it. And everybody said, Lord, help me. And everybody said, Lord, help me. Now watch. So it does not impute evil. Verse 6. It rejoiceth not in iniquity. So a heart that is filled with this type of love. Now, a person can love God. I'm not talking about loving God. Charity, this that Paul is dealing with, is not how you love God. It's how you love people. Because you can say you love God and absolutely have hate in your heart toward people. And you don't really love him either, because how can you love, hate your brother whom you have seen? How can you love God and you've never even seen him? But notice now that charity in an individual's heart, whenever that is ruling their life and becomes a capstone of who they are, it does not rejoice in iniquity. So, in other words, if a person would find out, say they don't like Brother Tim or Brother Amos or whoever, and they find out that Brother Amos had done something wrong, a person under the influence of the Holy Ghost say, I never did like him anyhow. I always knew there's something funny. I always felt, I hate them discerners like that. Don't you? I mean, the way that's that reverse discernment, you know. Oh, I always knew there's something. Oh, you liar. Quit saying that. Said you didn't know it. You just didn't like him. And they have preached on your hide or done something. And you didn't like it. But you know what? A person without the Holy Ghost or just a baptism of it, they'll actually rejoice to hear that Brother Amos made a mistake. They'll rejoice in iniquity. Some people that ain't never shouted would probably shout if they heard I'd done something wrong. Some of the folks that ain't never talked in tongues, they'd probably have a spell if they heard. You know why? They're not born again. A person's heart who's filled with the Holy Ghost, it would tear their heart out to hear a brother, a sister, much less a servant of God. Charity cannot rejoice. Now hypocrites might cry crocodile tears. Brother Amos was smoking. Breaks my heart. Cry crocodile. Cry. When the truth of it is, you love it. And you can't wait to get out them church doors to turn on your phone and start spreading that hellfire. Because that's what you're anointed with. You're going to be anointed with hellfire or Holy Ghost fire one. Hellfire will push self-love. Hellfire will push the faults of others. Holy Ghost fire will conceal them. Charity does not have the ability, it's just not made to work and rejoice over the vices of others. Amen. It's not in it. Why? Because this is God. So if you and I could rejoice over people sinning, then God can sit in heaven, and every time somebody on the earth does something, God said, that's wonderful. He blew that man's brains out. He killed that baby. Oh, smoking dope, man, this is great. Sin so grieved God. And charity is the very makeup of God's character. So then a man or woman, boy or girl who's filled with charity, it does not allow them to rejoice even in an enemy when an enemy is found out to
to be a secret sinner. Children, is it any wonder we're not any farther up the road? A charity in a person's heart cannot find malicious pleasure in the sins, the shortcoming, the iniquity of others. But wicked people love it. Some of these folks have left the message, have added, actually done background checks on me, Ron Spencer, and all kinds of other preachers. Looking to see if they can find stuff. I guarantee you one thing. If you look far enough, you'll find it. But if they go so far back, then what they'll do is fall into the sea and drown. The sea of forgetfulness I'm talking about. You see, what is it in people then that would want to do such a thing? They're not born again. How can they be born again and have a life full of charity? Not only folks that left the message, but you or anyone else that would want to do the same thing, that would spend your time digging around in the past? Oh my. Let's move on, children. Let's not dig around in the garbage dump of sin and the past of people's lives. Let's go on. Let's be filled with this love. Let's have God to fill us with so much of this. Oh my. It doesn't rejoice. It grieves. Charity grieves when it hears such things. I got a message from a preacher the other day, and him and his wife had been listening to this series, and said she told him, said, I don't know how many people around the message has even got this. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I don't know how many numbers got it, but I know who's going to have it before we leave here. Remember, this was preached in the first church age. They had it. I'll prove it to you by the Bible. This was manifest in the first church age. And this message is to turn our hearts back to the faith of the original apostolic fathers. That ain't just speaking in tongues. That ain't just casting out devils. That's loving the way they loved. Amen. That's being so much like Jesus that the world knew who they were. Oh my. Notice the other half of this verse. Paul says, charity rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. And the word truth, of course, is the opposite part of the iniquity. So it does not rejoice in the vices of people. But even if they've only got that much truth, it rejoices they've got it. Self-love, we will rejoice in what we know and who we are and what we know about this and that and the other. And our church is superior and our preacher is superior. That's self-love. Self-love will say, they ain't nobody can get saved in this Tri-Cities unless they get saved right here. But charity will say, if the Baptist is having a revival, if God's dealing with them, so be it. They'll never have no real revival, we know that. But that foolish virgin's got to be in before you leave. So praise be to God, if they can come in, come on in, you Baptist. Come on in, you Methodist, at least get saved. So we can leave this world. They may not make a rapture. Oh, my. So charity not only rejoices in the heart, which possesses a certain element of truth, but charity just rejoices in the truth. I rejoice that there are brothers in this message around the world covering all different aspects of it. You know, there's some brothers in the Philippines, and they reach out to the leper colonies. I'm glad they do. Come on. There's churches in the leper colonies with leper pastors. I'm glad they do. There's people around the world that's never heard the name Donnie Reagan or Happy Valley. They don't need to. I'm glad God's got them all over the world. A man's heart, a woman's heart full of charity don't just rejoice in the truth they know. They rejoice truth is going out. It don't have to go through their door. It don't have to go through their preacher. They rejoice because truth is being proclamated. Hallelujah. Charity rejoices in the truth. Look in verse 7. So verse 6 says it doesn't rejoice in iniquity. It rejoices in the truth. And charity beareth all things. Now this is the 12th character of charity. This word is peculiar. The Greek word versus the English word that the translators chose to use. Charity beareth all things. Look at the meaning of the word. To cover. To protect. Or keep by covering. To cover over with Facebook. Now friends, whether or not you want to accept this, we're talking about bride material now. Scream the thunders all you want to, scream Perusia, scream this, that, and the other, but if you ain't got this, this is the capstone. So charity actually covers? To hide, to keep secret, conceal, hides and excuses the errors and faults of others. Let's everybody say it together now. Lord, help me. Now, are you and I good at excusing or accusing? Now, this is what the Holy Ghost does. This is what charity does. Mama. Hides and excuses the errors and faults of others by covering to keep off something which threatens. So if you heard something about a certain brother or sister, and this had the ability to destroy their testimony, instead of you telling this one, and that one, and that one, and that one. If you were ruled by charity, you would hold that secret. And even if you felt you need to talk to the pastor, this and that and the other, it would pain you. It would pain you so harshly to have to disclose such a thing. Why? It is the nature of this. You say, this is crazy. This is God. What does God do with your sins? Once you and I confess them, he hides them, he conceals them, he keeps them a secret. Friends, you understand that God, no doubt, many times has tried many of us and tested us with some of these things right here. Amen. To let us know certain things and certain things and see what we would do with it. And then we'll tell him by that if he can trust us with other things. Beareth all things. Charity, its makeup is so far from injuring another person's character. Another person's testimony. Oh, it's so far from doing it that it leans toward the nature of God to try to hide that thing. So it can be fixed. The very meaning of the word protect is to hide or conceal by interposing some object between the one who would seek to injure another. So here is the fault or the sin of an individual. And you have the knowledge of that sin. You have the ability to destroy that person. But if you are led by charity, you will actually interpose and you will stand between that person and the public. That person and the people that would gossip. Come on, children. So you would stand there and be their redeemer. Now, if they go right on sinning and keep on sinning, then it'll force you to another step. You understand? As God is forced to other steps and people refuse. But if you know something and they're trying to make it right or they're working on it, it's already made right and it lays in your knowledge. Yes. Amen. A man or woman who's operating under the power of charity will stand right there and cover that thing with their own life. Amen. Ridicule me, laugh at me, make fun of me, do whatever you want. You're never any closer to the image of God than when you are covering other people's sins. Lord Jesus, to lay hands on the sick, devils can do that. Shout, speak in tongues, but a devil cannot cover sin. Hallelujah. Amen. The bride has been given the ministry of reconciliation, church. Whoever sins you retain, they are retained. And whosoever sins you lose, they are lose. You know, this was not words. Just words to the early church. It was life. It was actions. It was behavior. It dictated the way they lived and the way they thought. It also dictated the way the heathens looked at them. What's this in 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 8? Peter says, and above. How many? Read it with me again. Above all things. Have fervent charity among yourselves. Now, let me ask you this question. How many of us believe this is the Bible, the Word of God, what I just read to you? Is it still valid? Is it still important? Did the message replace the Scripture? Are there any quotes anywhere that make the Scripture invalidated where we no longer need this? Of course not. Well, why don't we do this? Above all things. Above all things. Why don't we do it, Brother Ben? Because we don't place the same value on it the first church did. Ours is on mysteries and this and that and the other, whatever your focus of your church is. And yet this was their focus. Did they believe in mysteries? They did. They preached many wonderful mysteries of God. But in spite of all of that, they said above all things. Above, not with, but above. Above everything else is the way it's expressed in the Greek. That which is most important more than anything else. Above all things have fervent. Now watch, it shows that charity actually has the capability of growing and abounding. Now here Peter uses another word to describe charity that Paul never used. And here he calls it fervent. So not just charity, but he said above all things have fervent charity. And it means literally intense, unremitting, unwearied. So above all you're getting, Happy Valley, your money, your houses, your lands, your cars, your dresses, your new hats, your new socks, and your new shoes, and new Cadillacs, and new cars, new Lincolns, and whatever more, above all things, above all things. Have fervent charity. You give me a man or a woman that can be blasted and not retaliate. Who can be ridiculed and made fun of and laughed at and from their heart forgive. I'll show you a man or a woman who's looking heaven in the face. Brother Branham never told us whenever you live for others, you look in the book in the face. But you're looking heaven in the face. Oh, think of this. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover. Oh, so Paul believed it would cover, and Peter believed it would cover a multitude of sins. You know what? I'm convinced a lot of Christians so-called in the world today that rant and rave on their Facebook trash and all that stuff, if they didn't have gossip and all that stuff to put on it, I'm not sure what some of them may write about. I mean, I don't have it myself and don't want it, but just from what I hear, you know, and I hear of churches now that are having to put Facebook cops on there to kind of keep up with what's going on inside the church. You know what folks need to do? They need to read their Bible more and be down on their knees praying. But some of you become addicted to Facebook like you become addicted to your iPhone and your Android. I would to God I could get some of you addicted to prayer. I would to God I could get you addicted to listen to the prophet's tapes and Lord, hallelujah, and being in the presence of God like you're addicted. Our phone can't even go off without the first thing we've got to grab it, standing in front of the doctor, standing wherever we are. Why? We become addicted to them. Oh my. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. This word, of course, is agape nikotes, which is fervent, ekente, sketched, stretched rather, or strained. It's used to describe the taunt or the pulling of the muscles of an athlete who strains to win a race. And God knows some of the folks we deal with in this age sure poor muscles. Now notice how we're supposed to love though. We're loving as an athlete. Now we're not just piled up in a recliner, you know, eating moon pies and drinking RC, but we are athletes and we're running a race and we're running with all of our heart and our muscles are tense. Everything about us is all strung up. Why? Because that's the way we love fervently. Laodicea loves just passively. Well, whatever. We love you, love you, love you, love you, love you, love you. That's words. That's words. This is words in action. Love like your muscles are so dense that you're passionate and taunt because you are one of the world's greatest athletes. A Christian's love, a Christian's ability to deny self is like one who is worked out. They are so worked out and exercised spiritually. What are they doing? They're releasing these things in their brain and in their body. Oh, these endorphins, and whenever they release it, it produces a calm, a peace that passeth understanding. The rest of the world looking on and say, they're nuts, they're crazy, I never heard such stuff in my life. Surely they don't expect people to do that. We do, because it's God's word. Why aren't they getting it? They're all piled up. They're a lazy Laodicean. They got the Laodicean flu. They got the Laodicean flu. Many of you just had that, as I had it a few weeks ago. They're cold and then they're hot. They're burning up, then they're sweating, and then they're freezing to death, or naked, and they're all this sort of thing. What is it? Laodicean flu. Oh my, Laodicea's got it bad, but I'm glad I got a flu shot. It's called the baptism of the Holy Ghost that inoculates us from the Laodicean flu. So it makes me love fervently, makes me forgive fervently. True charity is capable of being cultivated. True charity can grow. It can be taught. Hatred looks for reproaches, but love covers a multitude of sins. Look, Peter says, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Therefore, you're never any closer to God when you're covering sins. When you're forgiving. Some folks' idea of forgiveness is this. There's a certain preacher here sitting on the front row, won't call his name, he's got on a black shirt. A black suit rather, and kind of aqua colored shirt and tie. He offended me. I'm going to forgive him because I got such forgiveness. But I'm not going to mention his name, of course, so you all won't know who he is. But I'm going to forgive him. Now I'm going to preach on him for the next three services. But I forgive him. I'm glad God don't forgive like that. Real love covers that. Oh, y'all expect the pastor to do that when you come to me back there in the back room with your sins. God expects you to do it. Amen. This ain't just the pastor work. This is every child of God. Amen. This ain't just the evangelists or the deacons or all that. That's every child of God filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. You have this capability if you get self-love out of the way. Mm. Oh, my. Listen to this. Part of your mission to the earth is to be a coverer of sin. The word cover does not simply mean hide the sins, leaving them where they were, but causes their remission. In fact, it obliterates them. Well, you say, I can't do it until they ask me to forgive them, and that's the opposite of Jesus. Amen. Roman soldiers never asked Jesus to forgive them, but he forgave them before they ever asked. Amen. Mm-hmm. You see, true love in our hearts makes us kind toward our brothers and sisters, even in their imperfections and their faults. And the church said, amen. Amen. Charity can tolerate intolerance. You know what Paul's greatest enemies were? The Jews. We know that. I mean, he blasted them. The real love of God does not compromise with sin. We know that. But yet Paul, even describing them, he wrote and said, you know, all the things that they'd done wrong, but he come back around and said, they have a zeal. It's just not according to knowledge. And all the blasted, all the bad things. You know what, friends? I believe if we would change our thinking and those who bother us and the faults of others, if we'd look deep enough, then most folks would still find something we can compliment. But if we're constantly looking for fault, looking for negative, it'll come in our home, it'll go outside of our home, it'll come into our church, and before long, that's all we think about. It's picking and finding faults. Mm. Notice in Colossians chapter 3 verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Notice how Paul is wording this, though. Put on. Not like it's something that's automatic, but something that you must actually put on. Now, he has a reason in doing what he's doing. He's going to lead us up in a couple more verses. So as the elect of God, you believe you're elect, then this scripture's got your name on it. As the elect of God, put on, oh my, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all, these things. What things? Mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing, and forgiving. Above all that, put on charity. Now what's he doing? He's taking these graces, these divine graces, as if though they are layers of clothing. Now remember, the Eastern people dressed in layers. Unlike the way you and I dress today. So they would put on the inner garment, and then they would put on another garment and another, according to the temperature. And as it warmed up, because they would have cool, cool nights and very warm days. So you want to dress in layers so you can remove them when it gets warm. So you got mercy, you got kindness, you got humbleness of mind, you got forgiveness, you got all these layers. And the last layer is charity. Now this last layer was like the girdle that actually wrapped on and bound the rest of the layers to the body and made it where the body could work. Because their clothing was not fitting like ours is today, but it was real loose. So they would put the last layer on and take a sash or a girdle and wrap it around. That way they could run, they could work, they could move around. Charity binds up humbleness of mind. Charity covers all these other things. It is the fire. Oh, hallelujah. It is the capstone of your life. Amen. Praise be to God. Oh my, above all these things, put on charity. Oh, wow. You know what I found out, and I'm not very smart, but a suit coat just makes a suit, don't it? I mean, you can have nice suit pants on, but it just don't look like a suit. I don't care how long your hair is, how long your dresses are, sisters. Your brothers may not have tattoos, you may not have gold rings, you may not smell like marijuana, I hope you don't. But until you put this garment of charity on the outside, you still don't look like a Holy Ghost filled Christian. Now watch how Paul words this the exact same way that Peter does. And above all these things, which is simply not an addition to, but over and above all these things, put on charity. So it's the outer garment. Now poor folks, middle class folks, and rich folks, many of their undergarments, even the second and third layers, would be very similar and identical. But it was the outer layer of their garments that had separated and identified the poor, the medium, and the rich class. I want to be in the upper social circle. Don't you? Not of Laodicea, but of heaven's social circle. So here is the outer garment. What is it, Brother Tim? The garment of love. What's in St. John 13:34? Jesus speaking. A new commandment I give unto you. That ye love one another. Don't stop there, you'll miss it. As I have loved you. Now wait a minute. To love one another, that's one thing. But to love one another as he loved them? With the same kind of love, the same type of love. Now remember, this is a new commandment in the New Testament. It was new because it had never been given before. The Jews were known by their external rites. You know, even though many of them today, the Orthodox or the ultra-Orthodox, you know, they have the little curls on the side of their head, the men wear and the black hats and all that sort of thing. And they're identified. And you know that they're either Orthodox or whatever they are by the look on the outside. So they have certain rites and they shut down their place of business on Saturday, which is their Sabbath. So they are identified. Every following has identification. You'll know if a person, you know, believes the teaching of their church because they'll pretty much look the way their churches teach. If they teach well, it don't matter what you look like. That's the way they look when they go to church. Look like anything. So here Jesus said, I'm starting a new move. And everybody that really believes me in this move must have this badge of identification that will identify you. Now, it's not curly hair and it's not a phylactery and it's not a certain length on your skirt, but this is the way everybody will know that you're my disciples. And keep in mind, this is not the Laodicean version. This is the Jesus version. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That you also love one another. Mm-mm. So they are to befriend one another in trials. They are to love one another even when they're stupid. I imagine the devil saw Jesus must have chose some of the dumbest men on the earth to be disciples. They questioned him. They ridiculed him. They didn't believe him. And he loved them anyhow. And that's the way I'm to love you. And that's the way you're to love me. And that's the way we're to love one another. Come on, children. And this is why this love is not the Laodicean ooey gooey stuff. This is the real love from Jesus. And only the elect can love this way. Oh, my. This is not a suggestion. It is a commandment. Oh, my. By this, verse 35, shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Wait a minute, what about depths? What about mysteries and what about all that sort of thing, Jesus? I mean, you argue with him. He's the founder of the church. If you got this real love, you'll be in the mysteries. But they won't be mysteries when you get done with them. Praise the Lord. The things which are hidden belong to the Lord, but the things which are revealed belong to us. And I can miss you when a preacher gets done with it. It's no longer mysterious. Praise the Lord. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Now let me read you this that I found so interesting. It is well known as with this eminently distinguished first Christians was the subject of remark by the surrounding pagans that the heathen would say, see how they love one another? They are ready to lay down their lives for each other. So let me close with this and bring it down this way. So let's say it's 8:34. At 8:45, federal officials step in the back doors. They have been sent from the White House. They're going to kill 3 people out of this church, and they've got the papers in their hand to be able to do it. But they will take volunteers. My name is at the top of the list. And then whoever more, number 2 and 3. But if there'd be anybody here willing to die for this preacher, we'll let him live. I have no doubt in my mind that some of you would do that. Because you'd look at your station, you'd look at your position, and you'd look at me and say, it'd be much better for me to die than Brother Donnie. Brother Donnie needs to preach him. The church needs him, and oh my. But would you be willing to die for person number two, especially if you just had a run-in with them? Or they landed in your converter yard this week. Would you be willing to stand up for number two or number three and say, I'll be willing to lay my life down for them? Now friends, this is not debatable. These are the words of Jesus. As a matter of fact, John picks it up and he said that we should love one another so much that we would be willing to lay down our life for one another. This is the word of God. It's not debatable, okay? This is not my opinion. I'm not interpreting this. This is strictly what the Bible says. Do you have enough love in you that you'd be willing to do it? Now, let's change it. The top representative of the Internal Revenue walks in the door at 9 o'clock. And he says, we got millions of dollars in the Internal Revenue that people ain't never claimed. And we're here tonight to give the first five people that will come $2.5 million apiece. Would you go to the back door quicker than you come to an altar call? No doubt some of you that don't even need it would be the first one standing in line. Why? Because you're greedy. Or would you sit in your seat and let somebody that you know struggling, let them go get it? I prefer my brother. Look, friends, don't talk to me about how deep you are. Don't talk to me and try to impress me by what you know. If we can't do this, we better pack up and get ready to leave this world. We are not leaving this world until these things are in our lives and abounding, growing, intently burning in our souls. The proof of discipleship. Think of it. Jesus never mentioned understanding mysteries, preaching deep. Yeah, the most to click on your service is 200 watch you and 150 watch the next guy. Yep, you're the closest one to me. But Jesus said, this is the way people will know that you're my disciples. Your love will be so intent for each other. This will be your badge. Why? A disciple, if he really believes his mentor, will impersonate his teacher and his mentor. Jesus says in St. John 15:12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man would lay down his life for his friends. This shows the strength of the attachment. Now, more than likely, most of us will never be called for me to die for Brother Terry or Brother Terry to die for me. But we can lay down our life for our friends in service to our Lord and in service to them. Let's bow our heads together. Now, while we've been in the presence of the King, what are you going to take home with you out of this service? Have you recognized Jesus in our midst? Jesus speaking to our hearts. Jesus wooing us to himself. But Brother Donnie, my makeup is so... I understand, friends. But I'm not talking about your makeup and my makeup. I'm talking about a new birth, which empowers us to live this kind of life. We can't produce this. God don't want us to produce it. He wants to do it out of us. Oh my. The early church had such charity. I know we're deeper than them. I know we're smarter than them. They don't even hold us a lot, according to what we think. But they had such love among them that the heathens marveled when they burned them, when they crucified them, when they cut their heads off. Paul speaks about Aquila and Priscilla, that they had endangered, laid down their necks for him. They risked their lives for Paul. Mama. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we look at these things, I'm the first to say to you tonight, I've not always lived the way charity would have me live. I've not always covered the way I could and should have. Oh Lord, I've not always thought the way charity thinks. I ask you to forgive me, Lord. Oh Lamb of God, I'm at my best. I'm at my best when I reflect the image of my teacher. Help us each one, Lord. May charity abound in our hearts. Lord, if information is given to us, may we be so careful with what we do with it. Even if we feel the necessity to share it, may we check our motives, our objectives. Why are we sharing it? Why are we saying it? Help us, Lord. Forgive us, Father, for falling short of your image. Lord, we're not settling to be like a man. We don't want to be like Donnie Reagan. Why would we want to settle for that puny image? Lord, we love and admire and respect Brother Branham. But our goal is not to be like Brother Branham. Brother Branham was a man. As a matter of fact, we'll look at it maybe tomorrow that Brother Branham got away from charity. And you had to rebuke him. Because he was a human. That's why he told us, make no man your example. You are our example, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Help us to love like you, Lord. Oh, Father. If you was looking for three preachers in the message that you wanted to make famous, make them world renowned, no doubt preachers would be standing in line, screaming to the top of their voice, let it be me, Lord, let it be me, let it be me. Lord, if you'd ask for preachers that can really be like you, cover sins and forgive and pardon, be laughed at and ridiculed and not retaliate, how many would stand in line saying, Lord, I don't want that. I'd rather have that than fame and fortune. How many preachers would stand in line? If you was handing out great deep mysteries and they'd be deeper than everybody else and smarter than everybody else, they'd run over one another. But yet, you never said that was a badge of discipleship. But how many of us preachers seeks and prays and asks to love is so powerful in our lives that when people get around us, they can just sense that love. That's the kind of man I want to be, Lord. I want to be it so, Lord, that not just when message people meet me, but sinners. Lord, whoever. Lord, that if I get to spend very much time around them at all. Lord, as I sat in the office with a bank official the other day, just a few minutes, when I got up to leave, he said, I want to thank you. You have made my day. I have had such a terrible day. And just the atmosphere that you've made. I walked out of there feeling like I was on cloud nine. I thought, thank you, Jesus. That's what I want, Lord. I want to be able to radiate. Oh, I didn't take him down through the serpent seed and through a lot of different things. I just tried to create an atmosphere and pull him right into it. He didn't even know what I was doing. Lord Jesus, help us, Father. Please. Lord, if you'd offer it to me tonight, you're going to offer me millions? You're going to offer me fame, fortune? I'll just tell you right off, keep it, Lord. I don't want it. But give me love. This kind of love. Not Laodicea and stuff. This stuff right here, Lord. This love stuff. This real stuff, Father. Lord God, that I can reach out, Lord. That I can be the closest like God. Not when I'm running my mouth and trying to expose the faults of people. But Lord, when I'm hiding and covering, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. How many wants to raise your hand to him tonight?
and say, I want to be like that too, Lord. I want to be like you, Jesus. I want to wear this badge. I want to wear this badge of discipleship. Herein shall men know. They'll not even guess if you're a Christian. They'll not even ponder. They'll know it. They'll know it because your love for one another is so strong. They'll see you loving the way I've loved you all. I forgive you all for your ignorance. I've forgiven you for your trespasses. And they'll see you doing the same thing in such a way, they'll know you're a Christian. Forgive us, Lord, for picking and fault finding and repeating things we should have never repeated. Forgive us, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord God. Lord, while we're in your presence, in the presence of Jehovah, hallelujah, may we sense that great presence of the King that he's wanting to mold himself into our lives. Hallelujah, Lord, we're looking for a display of power and we're looking for signs and wonders and this and that and the other. I wonder what could be one of the greatest signs the world will ever see. Lord Jesus, a man or a woman who had such a temper that they'd cuss thing off to the hinges and mean as the devil himself and become so full of the Holy Ghost and full of the power of God that people talk about him and run him down. They don't even retaliate. What a miracle. What a miracle for God to take a man or a woman and so turn them around and make them like Jesus. Oh, grant it, Lord. Let's stand tonight, saints. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Harry, let's sing it together. What our brothers and sisters were singing while going in the presence of Jehovah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So what did you see when Jesus came by tonight? Did you see a Savior? Did you see a Redeemer? You find a friend, a heavenly friend that you want to be able to forgive your sins? Or did you hear your husband calling? Did you hear your husband through the mating call, calling to your soul? Remember, you are a garden. You know what a garden is? A garden is a spot of this world which has been reclaimed from the possessor, Satan himself. Those of you that's fixing to plant a vegetable garden or flower garden, what do? You walk out in a certain spot of your property and you elect that spot. You choose that particular spot right there. That's your choice. And you, by election, choose that particular spot. And you, by election, to choose beans and maters and taters and peas or whatever you're going to put in it. My Father God done exactly the same thing. He wanted a bride. And what did he do? He chose a garden spot. I was thinking about it today. I never did like gardening whenever I was a kid. My mom and daddy, my grandma and them used to make a garden. I hated gardening. And I thought, my, here the Lord give me a full-time job being a gardener. But you know what man's first job was? Being a gardener in the Garden of Eden. I'll tell you, Garden of God, it ain't going to be long. We're going to leave this old world. The acreage is getting cleared. All the weeds is getting out. Oh, hallelujah. And the fragrance is blowing in the presence of the King. He's taking out the weeds, taking out the indifference. So when the wind comes, it can blow into his presence. Hallelujah. Oh, can we sit at the table tonight? Let your spikenard and your myrrh, your frankincense, through the graces of mercy and kindness and forgiveness, the bountifulness of God's grace, let it blow across the work of God in your heart, into the nostrils of the King, and let him smell that work of grace in your heart, and turn and look at you and say, turn your eyes from me. One of your eyes has captured me. One of your eyes has rendered me powerless. Hallelujah. By what? His great works. Let's sing it together. In the presence of Jehovah, yeah, God Almighty. Sing it now. Prince of Peace, yes, troubles vanish. Broken.
presence.
All is singing now, children. Let's just worship Him together. Let Him come by and minister to you whatever your need is. In the
place for us to
a place to find the answer in our hour of distress. And there's never any reason for you to give up in despair. Just slip away and breathe His name. You will surely meet You there.
Jesus, we worship You, Lord Jesus. Children.
That is what I want to do.
What do we do?
I give You praise.
Glory.
For You are my life.
Amen, Lord. Bless Your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord.
Why?
There is none.
There is none like.
Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. How many loves Him with all your heart? You believe we're in the presence of the King. Not a King, the King. While we're in His presence, let me bring a request to you. A couple of years ago, probably many of you remember, Carol's sister Sharon was diagnosed with breast cancer. They did surgery and
chemo treatments and all that, and she's been doing good for a long time, but she found a place, and they removed it a couple of weeks ago and sent it off, and it came back, and it was another kind of cancer, not the same kind that she had before. They're going to start some treatments shortly, 6 months of chemo and radiation and all that sort of thing. But I believe in the presence of the King, miracles can happen. What about you? Friends, you don't understand. You'd never believe how many signs and miracles and wonders you've seen right here. Just praying. But Gene come up here the other day for prayer. Couldn't even raise his hand hardly up like that. Prayer was made in a matter of seconds. His hand was up like this. Who was it? The presence of the King. Our God is among us. He's not dead. He's alive. While we're in His presence, I want to take her and her husband and her children. She has a bunch of children at home. Small children. I want to just take them before the Lord right now. Heavenly Father, I know they're streaming tonight. No doubt in their living room, sitting there with the computer going, their heads are bowed. Lord, I want to bring Sharon up before your throne, Lord. Dear God, anytime we hear this word as humans, Lord, there's a fear that attaches itself to it. But yet we've been taught, Lord, by the message of God from your prophet, that even if we had cancer, if we didn't fear it, it couldn't hurt us. Lord Jesus, we bring her before you tonight. I bring her husband, her children. Father God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, you knew this. It didn't come to no surprise to you. So Father, we know our lives is in your hands. We know you don't send cancer. You're not the author of these things. The devil tries to do these things, but you step on the scene and turn it right around, and you make good things come out of it. That's just the way you are. So tonight, Father, we want to bring her and her family up before the throne of God. And we're going to continue to do so. Lord Jesus, would you bring deliverance? We're not going to tell you how to do it. Lord, I'd prefer that she didn't even have to have any of these treatments. I'd prefer she never had to go to a doctor. I'd prefer, Lord, it'd just be a miracle. But Lord, I'm not going to presume to tell you how to do it. All healing comes from you, Father. Your prophet said you heal by love, you heal by music, you heal by surgery, you heal by all these different things. Lord God, I just pray you would encourage them tonight and lift them up, Lord. Oh, grant it. May the angel of God, while they're right there, Lord God, they're in Jamestown, Kentucky. May the presence of God go right there in their little home tonight. Father, may you bring encouragement to them, Lord. Maybe there's others that's streaming tonight and they've heard bad news this week. Wherever they are, Lord, down in Canada, Lord God, over in Africa, wherever they are, may the Holy Ghost come. May there's some right here in the building tonight, God. May the Holy Ghost come by this way. Encourage your children, Lord. Give us what we have need of tonight, Father. Hallelujah. Grant it, Lord God. In the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. And we'll worship you. Oh, hallelujah. We worship you, Lord God. We worship you, Lord God. We magnify your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I pray that God would help us before we leave this world to realize our joy should not be determined by things on the outside of us, but our joy should be determined by that which is on the inside, and that we learn, as Paul did, to joy in God. If you joy only in those things around you, you're going to be a mighty discouraged person. But friend, if you learn how to joy in God when it seems like there's nothing to be happy about, you joy in God. So you joy in that He's a creator. You joy in that He's a healer. You joy in that He's a deliverer. Oh, I wish somebody would hear me tonight. We've got enough to praise Him for right here tonight. There shouldn't be a sad person leave here to be able to joy in our God. Joy in that He is our Redeemer. Joy in that He's coming for His bride to take her from this place. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We worship you tonight, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, glory. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. We worship you, Lord.
Thank you, blessed Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word tonight, Lord. May it go deep in our hearts. Bring us back in the morning, Lord, if it be pleasing to you. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, friends, when things get discouraging and you feel down and weary for whatever more, be like Nehemiah. Tell the devil, I'm up on the wall, I'm doing a good work, and I ain't coming down. You don't have to be a preacher to say that. You can be a housewife. You can be a brother. You're doing a good work on the... Oh, hallelujah! As a housewife, as a son of God, I ain't coming down, devil. Oh, hallelujah! Oh, glory. Sing it. Let's just sing a little before we go, can we? Praise the Lord.
Hmm?
Yes,
baptism. Baptism? It's always nice when I'm informed. All right. Praise the Lord.
I was alone and I'd open. I was a sinner too. I heard a voice from heaven saying there is work to do. I took my master's hand.
Oh, yes.
And I joined this Christian band. Now I'm on the battlefield for my Lord.
Let's sing it now, children.
I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord.
Hallelujah.
I promised him that I would serve him till I die. And I'm on the battlefield for my Lord.
Amen.
I left my friends and kindred bound for that promised land. The grace of God upon me, my Bible in my hand. At distant lands I trod, crying sinner, come to God. Now I'm on the battlefield for my Lord.
Come on, children, sing with all of our hearts.
I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Him that I
glory.
Would serve him till I die. I'm on the battlefield.
Let's sing it together now.
For my Lord.
Oh, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Yes, I'm
on the battlefield for my Lord. I promised him that I'm
going to serve him till I die. We'll resume it.
Most of you all know Brother Jacob Robbins. He is he's just a fine young man. I've had the honor of working with him with the youth for years now, and he's a quiet kind of guy. But he's got a spirit that speaks volumes, trust me. He got baptized when he was younger. And lately, the Lord's been impressing on his heart, you know, to revisit his first works, and he was struggling with that idea, and the Lord through a preacher or somebody kind of confirmed to him that he was supposed to revisit his first work and take the name of the Lord Jesus in baptism. And this happened with, you know, over a course of time there, talking with his parents and different things, and You really, he's a quiet young man. It might be hard for you to get him to come out of his shell, but get with him sometime. Talk with him. Talk with his parents. Hear about this young man's testimony. I just want you all to join with me and pray right now. Father, we love you so much. I love the way that you work among your people, Lord. Deal with our hearts, Lord. I love the way that you're manifesting yourself through perfect love, Lord. We're seeing it all the time. Lord, I know that it wasn't the devil that put it on my brother's heart to get closer to you. It wasn't the devil that put it on his heart to follow your Spirit's leading, Lord. And now, Father, as we baptize him, Lord, I ask that you complete that promise and fulfill the work of your Spirit in his life and give him the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Lord, and lead him, Lord, to that seal. And Lord, just bless his life and shine your light on his path as he walks through this dark age, Lord. We just ask you to bless him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Jacob, based upon your profession, conversation we had where you gave me your testimony of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the fact that you repented of your sins and you're now wishing to take his name in baptism, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The Lord don't just want 50-year-old people, 60-year-old people, 70-year-old people. He wants young people. He wants young people that he can fill with his power and his life and set them on fire. Amen. I'm glad we got some young people here in our church that are on fire with the Holy Ghost. God bless you, saints. Let's sing it together as we go. Amen. It's been good to be in the house of God. You keep this in your mind. It would be against God's nature to preach a standard so high that his elect cannot attain to it. So if God has things preached, you keep in mind, somebody's going to attain to it. And I'm going to be one of them. I'm going to be one of them by the grace of God. Well, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Him that I, Lord, I'll serve him till I die. Well, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord.
For my Lord, I promised him that I serve. Bound for the promised land, the grace of God upon me, my Bible in my hand, and distant lands I trod, crying, sinner, come to God, and I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I promised him that I'm gonna serve him till I die. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh yes, I'm on the battlefield